know about the origin of your name. Apparently, our children's head teacher used to tell them that the surname Duck really originated from Duke. I'm sure it was meant to make them feel better about a particularly, you know, interesting surname. What about Bob the Builder? Fireman Sam? Names that tell you something about the person, about the role that they have, the job that they do. I was reading about a particular book written by a Welshman, because we know that there are a lot of Jones, for instance, in Wales, and they have a particular way of giving original, imaginative and spontaneous nicknames. At one point, in Snowdonia, the whole area couldn't receive a good radio reception. And the only way they could receive it was having it piped over the Snowdon Range by a company specialising in that kind of work. The cost to each household was the old 1 shilling and 9 pence. So when the man first came to collect the weekly rent, he was immediately christened Dick 1 and 9. Other interesting names that I discovered: the man who had just one tooth sticking up in the bottom of his mouth, and just having had an extraction, I sympathise with this, he was nicknamed Barry Central Eating. I love that one. There was also Jones the Gas, and guess what job he had? This next one, Jones the Bones. No, an orthopaedic surgeon. And my particular favourite, Purse the Hearse. Of course, we find many surnames that still carry on from the job occupation that somebody used to have, like farmer, cooper, carpenter, miller, the list goes on. I wonder who first gave John the Baptist his nickname. Presumably, it was given when he first started baptizing. But it tells us something about him. In that reading from John's Gospel, we heard the question, "Who are you?" And John gave answers that both said who he wasn't and who he was. So he was very clear that he was not the Messiah. He wasn't Elijah. He wasn't the light. That's according to John, who was writing the gospel, who was also very clear. But what John did say was that he was a witness to the light. He was a preparer of the way. The way. That sounds a little bit familiar when we think about the identity of somebody else. Jesus was also asked, or rather, Jesus asked of his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And if we look at further on in John's Gospel, we find those words, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." But it was in Mark that we find, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." But what about you, he asked? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are the Messiah. So we have these two cousins. Cousins who both had unusual births, to put it mildly. Births following on from visits from angels. Unexpected births. Cousins where John was the eldest. Jesus was the younger. And I'm very impressed with John. He could have been very resentful, couldn't he? That he was playing second fiddle to his younger cousin. But no, he knew who he was. He knew what his role was. But he also knew who Jesus was. What Jesus would do to a degree. He knew that his role was one of preparation. I baptize with water, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. The preparer of the way. He was calling people to repentance. He was calling people to look at someone else. He was pointing to the one who would follow. And so we look at the one whom he was pointing to. The one whose name was given before his birth. The one, I don't know what his nicknames were, but his given names were significant. Jesus, for he will save his people from their sin. Emmanuel, God is with us. The Old Testament reading for today, that we're not reading in full, begins with these words. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom from the captives, freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. And we know that, as recorded by Luke, Jesus read this passage in his hometown of Nazareth. He stood up in the synagogue and read those words. And after rolling up the scroll, he said to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. So more of the roles that Jesus had, the reason that he came, the reason for his coming that we will celebrate in a week's time. Who was John? The preparer of the way. Who was Jesus? He was the way. The way by which we can know our sin forgiven. The way in which we can know our home in heaven. The way to full truth and fullness of life. The light of the world. Who are we? How do we identify ourselves? I remember one of our past presidents of conference saying that, yes, he had that role, but his biggest sense of identity came from knowing that he was a child of God. A child of God, born not through flesh, but by the Spirit. And as we think about John preparing the way, as children of God, we too have a role of preparation. For ourselves, yes, making sure that we are ready to welcome Christ, however he comes to us. For he still comes. He comes when we are needy, he comes through his Spirit, and he comes through the needy, wanting us to represent him as we serve. But also looking to the day when he will come again, we prepare ourselves. But we can also echo some of John the Baptist's role as we help to prepare others. And the biggest way that he did that was by pointing to Jesus. He lived an odd life, didn't he, in the wilderness, dressing in an odd way, eating strange food. Sometimes we need to stand out from the crowd, maybe not in the same way. Paul's letters are full of advice as to how we live as children of God. He encourages us to clothe ourselves with compassion, to grow those fruits of the Spirit that mean we are patient with ourselves, but patient with others when they're different from us, patient when they rile us. We're called to forgive, to love. One of the great commandments, loving one another. People saw who John was and named him in that way. I wonder, as people look at us, how they name us. There are particular Christmas jumpers, well, jumpers that can be given at any time of the year, for grandparents. There was one that's been recently given away from our house because it wouldn't be worn. And it said something about grumpy granddad, but I can't remember the exact words. How are we known? What would your nickname be? John? The reflector of Christ's light? John? The patient one? John, put your name in that place. How are we reflecting, sharing, showing God's nature as we see it fully in Christ? It's all too easy to get in the way of Christ's message. And words are only good if they're backed up by action. I read this yesterday, and it concerns the parable of the 12 bridesmaids, the five wise and five foolish. And she says, I began to wonder about my lamp. Not only in terms of my readiness and preparation for Jesus' return, but also how my life might be the light Jesus declared it to be. Because Jesus didn't just say, I am the light of the world. He said, you are the light of the world. Your lamp may be different in shape and style to mine. Mine seems battered and misshaped as life has taken its toll. What matters more, though, than its external state is the light within. Sometimes it burns brightly. Other times there's barely a flicker as the challenges and concerns of life conspire to extinguish it. Yet somehow that hope within continues to burn. The Holy Spirit is the oil that fills our lives. Spending time in prayer and reading God's word keeps our lamps burning. Sharing in communion and fellowship with others Fan the flames as we encourage and pray for one another, not only in preparing for Jesus' return, but also to help others find their way to him. Advent is a time filled with lights burning brightly. Let our lives burn brighter still. Amen.